Our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Listen for the gospel of the Lord. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard about it, they went out to restrain him, for the people were saying, "He," that is Jesus, "has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they said he has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, Your mother and your brothers and sisters, they're outside, they're asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and brother and sisters?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and brother and sisters. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks again for this, your word. Help us to hear it. Help it to sink into our hearts that we may come to know and love you better and our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. So, because this is one of those long passages that has a lot of good content in it, and there's just like one thing that you might trip over. Naturally, I decided we're going to focus on the thing that we might trip over, because that's just how I am. So, how many of you have heard of the phrase, the unpardonable sin, before? All right, so there's like three of us. I heard about it when I was a little kid growing up. It comes from this section here, where Jesus says, clicky, "Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." I heard about this as a small child. Can you imagine blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And it brings up all kinds of important questions, like, what counts as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And if you can't be forgiven for it, does that mean that you go to hell? And what does it mean to actually do it? So blasphemy is just like speaking evil against the Holy Spirit. Do you have to say it out loud? What if you just think it? What if you're just like minding your own business and the stray thought flies through your head that blasphemes the Holy Spirit? Are you going to hell for that? What if you know how it is with kids. You're just sitting there minding your own business, and then words will slip out of your mouth that you didn't mean to say. What if you accidentally blaspheme the Holy Spirit out loud? It's terrifying, right? You could end up with eternal damnation for just saying something by accident. What in the world is that about? Oh, but there's more. Because if you start thinking about it, I Googled this thing and this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because I was like, well, what about other stuff that you could do? That, like, what if you like killed a whole bunch of people? Is that worse than blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? I found an atheist website that was like, this is why Christianity is terrible, because saying bad things about the Holy Spirit is worse than genocide. child abuse or turning children into soldiers, all the cruelty that we can scrape together, people will be forgiven for all their sins, whatever blasphemies they utter, except for this? How do we explain this? How do we deal with this? I have a possible explanation, starting with the assumption that Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. Fully human means that sometimes when Jesus is hungry, maybe he, or just angry or irritated, maybe he says stuff that, well, I mean, think about this. Jesus is doing miracles by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to move this. Jesus is doing miracles by the Holy Spirit, and they're like, he's doing this because he has a demon. And Jesus just maybe flies off the handle a little bit, and he says, what you guys just said was so horrible, even God couldn't forgive you. No? What you guys said was so bad that even God couldn't forgive you. You ever been that angry? No, just me? What you just said was so bad, God couldn't forgive you. But I mean, they said he has a demon. So it's, you almost get this sense that it's kind of a projection-ish. But I mean, it's not. But it could be. Like, they said he has a demon. And he's like, no, well, I'm doing this by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's, you just spoke evil against the Holy Spirit. But I want to take that seriously for a minute, this thing that you can do, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and the power of our words. Because we can do that. We can do things that people will hold on to for a really long time. I'm probably not the only one, but I don't know if I've said stuff, but I hope I haven't, but I've heard stuff that I have kept for decades. Yes, believe it or not, I've been alive for more than one. Decades, you just sit with that, and every now and then it starts playing in your head, and you start going, oh, man. Anybody ever say anything mean to you that you just hold on to it and just treasure those words in your heart? So this points to, I think, the power that our words can have to hurt others. Another question that Jesus says can never have forgiveness. Does that automatically mean eternal damnation? If you're not forgiven, does that mean you go to hell? Maybe, or what if it doesn't? Don't know. What if, and here's another thing that I've just been thinking of, because I read this book in seminary, and I actually drove all the way to the church office to pick it up because I left it here. It's called The End of Memory by Miroslav Volf, and he's talking about, he starts with a story of having been interrogated in Yugoslavia because he was a Christian, and well, because he was a Christian in Yugoslavia and they had, at that time, restrictions and stuff against Christianity, he had married an American, so they thought he was a spy, and there was just some anxieties going on, and he spent several months being interrogated by some general or something. They said there was no physical abuse, but it was just this constant going, how do I, he's just kind of imagining forward in time and going, what if after we die, we're both in the presence of God, we're both in the world to come, what happens to that memory? Can I ever actually forgive this person? Can I forget what they did to me? And his argument in The End of Memory is that maybe some of the horrible things, or actually all of the horrible things that we have done and that have been done to us, can be washed away, that can be eventually forgotten. As we've done them, that we remember them rightly and acknowledge the sins that we've done and the people who we've harmed, and it all gets washed away in a river of goodness. And maybe sins they can't be forgiven sometimes. Maybe they get just forgotten. I don't know. I should observe, I don't know. Pastors don't know everything. Most of us go to seminary thinking that we know some things, and when we graduate, we actually know less than we went out. Like, it's like when you go to college, you're like, oh, I know everything, and you think that everything is here, but everything turns out to be more like here, and you get more, but you know a lot less of the percentage of things. And by the time you graduate seminary, you go, wow, now I'm beginning to just slightly have a grasp on how much I don't know. So that I don't know. I don't know how this thing works. But I do have a few verses about that forgetting business, because Isaiah 43, God says, I am he who blots out your sins, your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. But God knows everything, but God chooses to forget. Hebrews 8, I will be merciful for their iniquities. I will remember, this is God speaking, their sins no more. Hebrews 10:17, he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. That maybe this speaking evil against the Holy Spirit is just this really horrible thing that just can't be forgiven, but maybe it can be forgotten. I don't know. But ultimately, what does it mean? Because we've talked about how does this work? How do you get out of it? But what is it? I heard it as, you know, you speak evil against the Holy Spirit. But if you look at it in the context of what's happening here, they're saying Jesus has a demon when he's doing work by the Holy Spirit. And so that is one of the things. Someone else pointed out, well, you could have only done it in the first century because Jesus is fully doing stuff by the Holy Spirit. The only truly direct conduit, I guess, of the Holy Spirit. So you could really only have done it by saying it to Jesus, so the rest of us are safe. To which I go, I don't know, sounds good to me. But really, I think it means attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And I think that that's a thing that we've seen done. It's a thing that I've seen done. You spend more than 5 minutes on the internet, everything gets attributed to the devil. Like, you know, but you see, like, for example, there's, you see, like, women who are pastors, and people will be like, well, your ministry, you're not a man, so your pastoral ministry is from the devil. I would put that down under blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Not like just sort of vaguely thinking like, the Holy Spirit sucks. Like, I don't think that would count as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because that's not really what's going on here. Some people have said, well, you can't do it by accident. I don't think the scribes and Pharisees, or the scribes who said that, meant to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. They meant to speak evil against Jesus. So maybe there's something to be picked up there about maybe just sparing the evil speaking words that we want to say against other people and be like, what you're doing is from the devil. There's a text, and I didn't look it up because I just thought of it right now, where I believe before Jesus goes on trial, I think it's somewhere with the disciples in the book of Acts, they're preaching, and the high priest says, be careful not to speak evil about what they're doing, because if it's from God, or you'll be found opposing them, because if it's from God, you'll be found to be opposing God, and if it's not from God, it'll go away by itself. So there's the wisdom there, I think, of this text is to maybe not be very quick to say that's from the devil. Just especially if it's a good thing, and if it's coming from the people that maybe you don't want it to come from, that being slow to say that's from the devil, that would probably be, that's what I would recommend as to avoiding blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that's all we've got for this morning. So, enjoy. Enjoy thinking about that some more, because now I've thought about it, now you get to think about it. I've read some books in seminary that were like, we've thought about this, so you don't have to. Well, now I've thought about this, so you all have to. You're welcome. Let's pray. God, as we think about these difficult things, these questions, and how we can continue to grow in love for you and our neighbors, help us to not blaspheme your Holy Spirit, but to listen and wait and discern and just see what you might be up to. See where your goodness might be poking through in places that we are not expecting it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.